you today to Living Waters Community Church, to this live stream broadcast that we are sharing with you. I trust that you will be blessed as we have been blessed, as the Lord has given it to me, and that the Lord will enlighten your hearts and your minds to receive it. Let us just pray before I begin this message. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you speak to our hearts and that you speak to our minds and to our lives. We receive that today, O God. I pray that you will let your Holy Spirit move in each of our lives. For those who are here in the congregation and those who are watching, that your Holy Spirit will speak to us. That let us receive from these words what you have for us. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. I've titled this message today, Living Under the Shadow. Living Under the Shadow. Now, we know that there is a shadow that we want to live under, but there are other shadows as well. When our children were quite young, my husband and I used to play kind of a little game, and we would make shadows on the wall with different objects or our hands. And they would guess what the object was and how it was created. Sometimes the little ones, some, the ones that were quite young, might see a shadow and they said, "Ooh, that one's scary." And sometimes shadows can appear to be scary. And we encounter many shadows in our lives, and there are good shadows and there are bad shadows. There are shadows that are only illusions. They're not real. They're not real until we make them real by accepting them as reality. When we accept them as a reality, it becomes real to us. Shadows can become reality for good or bad. Today, and that was yesterday, I received a text from my daughter, Ramona. And the text expressed the focus of this message. I don't know that she knew this was the focus, but she sent me this message from Psalm 91, verse 1. You're probably familiar with it. It says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High God will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty." There is a protection in the shadow of our God. And I think it's interesting. It says, the Most High God. There are other gods around. Gods that people make gods, but there is only one Most High God. The shadow of the Almighty is a shadow that offers peace, offers confidence, and assurance. We can have that assurance and peace only as we live and trust in this Most High God. He is the God that stands by us. He is faithful. He will never fail. There are other gods that some trust in, but there's only one that is the Most High God. The gods of this world will fail you. They'll deceive you and they will lead you astray. But Jesus never fails. And here I'm going to talk about Ramona again. Ramona was about 4 years old. And we were sitting in the house. And I remember that she, for some reason, she needed to walk down the hall. And it was night and it was a dark hall. And she was afraid. And she said, "No, I'm not going down there." Well, she'd never been afraid of the dark, but somebody told her some scary story. And they told her that in the darkness, there was something she needed to fear. And so she was afraid, and she didn't want to walk down that hall. And I said to her, "Jesus is light, and he overcomes darkness. And he's walking right there with you." And it was kind of interesting. She was a child that just took it at what you said. And so she just turned and walked down the hall. And that's the way we have to do. There are some shadows in our lives that we have to overcome. We have to recognize that Jesus is light. Some people have a shadow of some kind of abuse in childhood. There's a shadow perhaps in adulthood. A shadow that keeps them under its fear. It could have been verbal, physical, sexual, emotional, financial, all kinds of things that come against us. And then it is something. I remember that when I was a child, My father, we had 13 children in the family, and my mother and father, we had used to be an old army barracks that my brothers had remodeled, and they had fixed it so that it was a home that we lived in. And I remember that my mother saw a shadow one day as she was in the kitchen, and she turned to face that shadow, what it was. Well, it was someone, but she had no fear because she had the giver of life. She had that great almighty God with her. And so a shadow is something that Satan wants us to accept as our identity. A shadow that he wants to keep over us for us to identify with it. And it is, and he wants us to believe that it is truth. It does not give us our identity until we accept it as our identity. This shadow, this thing. You may have been teased about a particular physical appearance, something in your life, and it becomes your identity, and you believe it, and then it becomes your identity. Satan wants that to happen, and many of us have had that happen in our lives, but God wants to free us from that shadow of darkness. I remember, I think about my husband. His identity, he chose not to let it be his identity, but his father had gone to prison when he was only 2 years old. And he had served in prison all of those years. And I remember when Ramona was a baby or 2 years old that he was released from prison and he came to live with us. But my husband did not accept that identity as his identity. He was not identified with criminal behavior. And some of us, we take on something that has happened and we're not even responsible for, and we take that as an identity. And some argue, doesn't God visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children? That's an argument that I hear. And they say, don't they carry a generational curse? Well, I'd like for you to look with me in Deuteronomy, or let me read it to you, the 5th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And Moses, the Lord said, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of, and listen to this, of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. I'm here to tell you that the only way that the sins of the parents are brought upon the children is by their failure to teach them and to train them in the ways of God. And so the children make a choice, and they do not serve the Lord. He says, those who hate me are the ones that receive that curse or that bondage, that shadow. But he said, I show mercy to thousands who love me. They don't have to have that shadow. They don't have to live under it. And so we need to be faithful parents, don't we? It tells us we need to be faithful to teach and to train our children, because the world is teaching them every day. In the schools and in the marketplaces, in the community, the children. And some of the things that you say, well, I'm going to wait to teach my children about this because they're still too young. But the world will teach them before you do if you don't get to them first. We often hear people excuse their behavior or their failure because of past experiences. They say, well, the reason I am this way is because of something that this person did to me or what happened in my life. They believe Satan's lies and accept that dark shadow of defeat. But we don't have to accept that. Consider Numbers, the 26th chapter, verse 33. God had instructed Moses to count all the people according to their tribes to divide the land. And we see here. Zelophehad. I've said it over and over to practice so I'd say it right, but now here I am. Son of Hefer had no sons. He had only daughters. And it gives their names. Then we look in the 27th chapter of Numbers. And these daughters of Zelophehad, the son of, and we trace his lineage, he was actually a descendant of Manasseh, who was Joseph's son, one of Joseph's sons. He belonged to the clan of Joseph. And the names of the daughters, and it gives their names, they came forward and stood before Moses. Moses is going to divide the land, but only the sons can receive an inheritance. The women were not considered those to inherit. But this man had no sons. He had only daughters. And so the daughters came forward, and they stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest and the leaders and the whole assembly at the wilderness. And they said, they were at the tent of meetings, and they said, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among those of Korah's followers." You remember Korah was one who said, "I'm just as holy as anybody else. I don't have to follow or come under leadership." And she said, they said, "He was not one of those. He died only of his own sin, but he wasn't one of those." Now, what his sin was, I haven't researched. If you want to research it, that'd be great. And they said, "Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no son? We're asking you to give us property among our father's relatives." This law, this shadow that was over them, they said, "We want it broken. We want you to consider us for an inheritance." So Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord said to him, what his daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and give their father's inheritance to them. You see, it had never been done before, but they said, "We believe that we should have an inheritance." I think it's interesting in James, we read there the fourth chapter, the latter part of verse 2, it says, "You do not have because you do not ask." There are many things that we do not receive. We think, well, that's the way it's always been done, the rule is, and we don't ask. But God said, this is right. It is exactly as it should be, and they received an inheritance. We don't have to live under a shadow of our past or the sins of our parents. We can claim our inheritance. In Isaiah, the 30th chapter, verses 1 through 3, he's talking to the children. He said, "Woe to obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine." We're talking about those that decide they're going to do what they want to do. "Forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, says the Lord. Keeping sin upon sin." And when you begin to sin, then the next sin doesn't look quite so bad. It's one sin after another. The little sin, and then a bigger sin, and a bigger. And you say, well, all sin is the same. No, the consequences are different. And he says that they go down to Egypt without consulting me. Egypt was their place of bondage. They go there, and they look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. There are many people who are going back into things that they have come out of, and they're going back and saying, "I'm looking for acceptance, I'm looking for fulfillment in that." But he said here, he said, "Pharaoh's protection will be your shame." And the same is true with us. When we have been delivered from that shadow of darkness in our lives, we dare not go back and say, This is what I'm looking for, acceptance, or I'm looking for a covering or something there, because the Lord says it will be your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. And that is true in our lives. We will meet with disgrace. In Hosea, the 14th chapter, verse 7, we read, "They that dwell under his shadow," and when he's talking about the Lord Almighty, shall return. They shall revive as the corn. When you're under his shadow, you're going to come to life. There will be fresh newness of life. And grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Now, Lebanon was a mountain known for snowy peaks, cedars, and cool water, and its beauty. And one of the peaks on Lebanon, my understanding is, was Mount Hermon or Mount Zion, where God commanded the blessing of life forevermore. That's what God gives to those who will seek him, is life evermore. And he made that command if we will get under his covering, under his shadow. In Psalm, the 133rd chapter, verses 1 through 3, David wrote, "How good and pleasant it is when we dwell in unity." There is a blessing in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down the beard and on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes when we dwell in unity. He said, it is like the dew of Hermon. And this is one of the mountain peaks. That's what it's like, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. That's what we are seeking for. We think that the things in this world, this life, are so important. But it is life forevermore that God has planned for us. And he gave that commandment if we will just be under his shadow. God has given us power over all the powers of Satan, and we don't have to live under the enemy's shadow. I think of the woman at the well, and you know the story probably quite well. In John, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 10, and then some of the other verses, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus was there, and he said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now, his disciples had gone to town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman." Sometimes we think that there are different categories. One nationality is better than another, but it is not so. Even the Jews were not better. They were just the ones through whom God chose to give this promise, and we are drafted in. And she said, "How can you ask me for a drink?" Because, you see, they didn't associate with one another. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would have given you living water." And you know, she said, "Give me this water so I don't get thirsty anymore and have to keep coming here to draw water." She thought it was physical water, but he was talking about spiritual water. And then she said, "I know that there is a Messiah coming called Christ, and he will explain everything to us." She went on and talked, and Jesus said, "I am that one. Speaking to you, I am he." And she left her water pot and went to the town and gave the message to the people. She said, "Come and see, I have found the Messiah, a man who told me everything I ever did. Couldn't this be? Isn't this the Messiah?" And they came and made their way toward him. I want you to know that Jesus ignored the prejudice of the world. He said, "I am he." And he told her how to be under that shadow of his protection. And he reached out to her, even though there was a shadow of darkness over her life. He said, "You've been married 7 times, and you're living with somebody you're not married to." And in Isaiah, we read there the prophecy he prophesied in 55th chapter, verse 1. He said, "Come all you who are thirsty. Come you who are living under a shadow of shame or condemnation. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat." You don't have to have anything, just come. And buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Then I think of the story in Mark about blind Bartimaeus. As Jesus and it's the 10th chapter there, verses 46 through 52. Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. And a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Now remember, in order to be a beggar, you had to have an identity as a beggar. You had to be approved by the government to beg. Otherwise, you'd be put in jail. You could be disdained or ridiculed. So he had that identity, that robe that designated he was free to beg. And he was sitting by the roadside begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was coming, he began to shout. You notice he didn't say, who is this? He shouted out, and we need to cry out to God in our desperate need. When we are under a shadow or a bondage or something that is not according to the will of God, we can cry out to him and he will hear us. Well, when he cried out, he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He is recognizing that he is the one that is the Son of David, the one who is to come. And he said, have mercy on me. And the disciples rebuked him. And the people around, they said, be quiet. You're stirring up a ruckus. Be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so Jesus stopped and he said, call him. I'm going to tell you that when you become earnest and when you become serious about a need, God will stop everything and say, what is it you have need of? And so they called the blind man. And they said, get up on your feet. He's calling you. I think it's interesting that it says in the 50th verse there, throwing his cloak aside. Now, he had not yet received his sight, but he threw off the cloak of darkness, that shadow of blindness. He threw it off, and he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He was still blind. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. But he took a step of faith before he ever received his sight. Jesus said, go, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You know, the world has labeled a lot of people today, just like the world there had labeled Bartimaeus. But Jesus ignored that label that the world had given him. And he ignores the labels that the world places on us, and he gives us a new identity. We do not have to live under the shadow of our past, under the shadow of the shame of the things that have pulled us down, whether it is whatever it is caused from. We don't have to even think about that. We don't have to live under that. In Philippians, the 3rd chapter, Paul writes in the 12th verse there through the 14th, he said, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect. He said, I realize I have not attained everything that I'm telling you to seek for. I'm still seeking for it. I'm still walking the walk. He said, I press on to make it my own. Why? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Christ Jesus paid a price for you. He has claimed you. You belong to him. And you don't have to remain where you were. One thing he said, I do, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward or straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There are some people that may tell you or may say, you can never do that because of your past. I'm telling you that God says your past is erased. He said, I have forgiven you. I have forgotten it. It is erased, but he calls us to press on and to go after that calling. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17, very familiar verse, he says, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I have heard testimonies, and you probably have experienced that when you accepted Christ into your life, it was like the whole world had vivid colors. It was no longer drab. There was a newness. Something had changed. Joel says, he prophesied before Jesus ever came in the 2nd chapter, verse 32. He said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. And then it was confirmed in Acts. It says in the second chapter, verse 21, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It does not say whoever has the background of wealth, whoever has special fluence or affluence. It says whoever calls on the name of the Lord. Like Bartimaeus did, he called out and he said, I want deliverance. And he threw aside that old identity. The Lord is telling you, and he's telling me, we can lay aside any identity that pulls us down, any shadow that would be a lie from Satan, and we can press forward to the calling that God has for us. Paul tells us in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 8, he said, by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. It is the gift of God. What is that gift? He gave us the greatest gift that any could ever be given. He gave us his precious Son. Jesus came. Sometimes when we give gifts, we give something perhaps that, I'm sure that none of you do this, but perhaps you give something that you really don't like that much and you just want to get rid of it. I'm not saying you shouldn't go ahead and give it. Somebody else may appreciate what you don't like, but God didn't give what he did not value. He gave what was the most precious gift to him. And we need to give to him the most valuable gift that we can give to him. What is it? Sister Colleen sang this song today, said, broken and poured out. Jesus was broken and poured out for me. And I want to come before him and pour out my life to him. And he will be the shadow of protection that I need for my life. He gives me a new identity. I'm no longer the person that I once was. How many testimonies we have heard of people who have been so steeped in sin or have been so abused, and their lives appear to be so damaged that it cannot be salvaged. But Jesus said, I gave my life to salvage you, to save you. And I go back to that verse that I started with, Psalm the 91st chapter, verse 1. The key to it is, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High. How do you dwell in the shelter of the Most High? You come before him in your secret place. You come and you pour out your life before him. Here I am, God. You see who I am. You know me. I don't have to tell you. You know who I am. But I come before you and I ask you to put your shadow of protection over my life. Change my identity. Make me the person that you want me to be. I had a nephew that had a nickname as he was growing up. I don't want to call his name. I don't know if he'd be embarrassed, but he got into drugs and did some things that were not, that broke his parents' heart. And then he committed his life to Christ. And so when I talked to him and I called him by the nickname, and it wasn't a negative name, derogatory, and I called him and he said, Aunt Naomi, that's not my name anymore. I have a new identity. And he gave me his name. When I was teaching school and the kids would, sometimes they'd have a nickname that, I remember one young man had birth defects and he lacked the fingers on his hands except for his thumb and his forefinger. And his nickname, they would call him Claw. And he came in and he said, my name is Claw. And I said, no, your name is not Claw. You have a name. God has given us his identity. And you have a purpose. And you are under his shadow. You do not have to live under the shadow of disgrace or of shame. He has a new identity for you. And so I say to you today, if you're watching on this broadcast, there are lots of people, and you may be one of those who've experienced terrible hurt and pain. Pain that perhaps you had nothing to do with. How many children have been abused? And we say, oh, God, why? If you've been somebody that has experienced pain and disgrace and shame, Jesus says, I have given you a new identity. And he wants you to rest under his shadow. Cast aside that shadow of shame and oppression. Jesus wants to give you his identity, and he will do that today. All you have to do is call out, just like Bartimaeus did, and say, I want to see. I want to see through eyes of your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. I'm going to pray a prayer today, and I ask you to agree with me as I pray that God will give you that healing and that precious shadow of his presence over your life. It is a shadow of protection to keep the enemy from destroying you. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We come as we are, no pretenses, we are who we are. But you say we are more than we see in ourselves. You have given us your identity today because we confess that we have been under a shadow that we want to be delivered from. We have been sinners. We have sinned against you, and we're not worthy of your blessings, but you've promised it. You said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And today we call on you. Give us your identity. Refresh us and hide us in your secret place, O God. Put us in your secret pocket of protection, and let us live in your presence in eternity. We give you thanks, and we praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you have, from your heart, asked Jesus to come in, he heard your prayer. He says that he will hear you when you call unto him. He doesn't ignore it. And I encourage you to begin to live for him. And at this Thanksgiving season, you can give thanks that God has made a way for you to be free of all of your past. Free in Jesus' name. Amen. May you have a blessed week this week as you celebrate your giving thanks to God for the blessings that he's given to you. Count your blessings, and you'll find out there are far more than you can number. Be blessed. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Church in Casa Grande. Okay, this message today I know wasn't necessarily directed as particularly toward giving thanks, but it is too, because we give thanks for that wonderful protection that God places over our lives. Amen. Is there anybody that needs special prayer today? I see that there are several who are missing that I'm concerned about today, and we need to continue to pray for them. And when you're praying each day, just ask the Lord, God, the people, the congregation, those that are hurting and those who need your touch, I ask you to touch them right now. And Jesus knows, God knows what is needed. And whether it's physical, emotional, whatever it is, the Lord hears our prayers. Let's continue to pray for one another and hold each other up in prayer. Is there anyone today that would like special prayer before we are dismissed? Is there anyone who has something you want to share before we're dismissed? Yes, Joan.